solo ektang teming ore tu kru ira.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to round two of All Things Avatar.
Let's get ready to rumble!
This is something we tried on the very first podcast, and then we forgot to do it.
This is something from the episode that never happened and then got forgotten.
Absolutely. Okay, so quickie quiz time. Avatar versus Star Wars.
Avatar, because it actually makes scientific sense.
No laser beams in Avatar. No laser stormtroopers that can't shoot worth anything. They actually hit their targets.
Stormtroopers have the unerrable ability to miss every protagonist.
Yeah, it's like a bad Charlie Chaplin movie with a whole bunch of inept Keystone cops.
Fuck it, Star Wars.
Dun, 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 dun.
And you're out.
Ah.
Who let the girl allow in this
yep.
club?
Blasphemy!
Mm-hmm.
Someone kicked that woman out the escape hatch.
Yeah.
Remember, woman, you're one airlock away from a ticket home.
Yeah, take a deep breath. That's going to hold all the 6 light years.
Okay. Colonel versus Darth Vader. I'm choking you. I'm choking you. Have you seen my movie? I hold my breath twice and start shooting people.
You can't choke the Colonel. You can hold his breath.
Apparently the Colonel doesn't need any
I'm
air
not
to
sure
operate.
The Colonel really needs air.
Colonel's like, go ahead, force choke me. I'll keep with my barrier.
Colonel doesn't need a rebreather.
Colonel wins, he's got the better suit.
Yeah, he's got the suit. His suit is far more better.
Freaking Darth Vader does. Plain and simple. Colonel win.
Darth Vader, force choke. Colonel, throat punch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Darth Vader's a pussy. just look at Anakin. Oh, your skin is so...
Where's your panda man there now?
Ride. Makoto. Makoto. Ride.
This next segment is our home tree. This is what the podcast really comes down to. Talking about our favorite movie. So we hope you enjoy our initial discussion. Today we're talking about a scene called Jake's First Awakening. This is really a pivotal moment in the movie where Jake wakes up for the first time in his Avatar body, and the scene continues all the way till Sigourney Weaver says, "Lights out, kiddies, and see you at dinner." What I particularly found fascinating about this scene is the way it's got a whole lot of subtleties that explain why Jake is accepted by Taruk or Awa, how the avatars wear shoes, how they're divorced from nature, and how immersive Jake is in his avatar body. So I thought we'd all just discuss our various takes on it. Jake's first action is he sits up and he's so excited about exploring his new body or his refound sensory acuity or his sense of awareness. And we see him just, he doesn't ignore everyone. He just shuts them out. They're not a part of his world. He is so overwhelmed by, I have feet and I can stand up and, ooh, look, I have a tail. And his words to them are, I got this. And then this carries on. When he gets outside, and that, I think, is the first time he's felt sunshine and breathed non-recycled clean air, and not to mention the fact that he gets to dig his toes into the dirt. But talk about sensory overload.
Well, I'd be as excited as he was if I was a Marine at one point, out in the bush and... Where was it, Venezuela, where he was?
Right.
And then walking around, patrolling, and then get shot and lose my legs for X amount of years. I'd be super excited just like that also.
And on a side note, this is the first of many times in the movie that we see Big Blue Butt.
Hospital gown flapping in the wind, mightily.
Yes.
Right at is very strategically placed the entire episode.
Exactly. Yeah, stumbling around, being like, "Oh, don't mind them. I'll get him."
That's a really good point that I wanted to discuss about this scene, is what you just described shows point blank what made Jake such great material for Pandora, almost a foreshadowing of why Jake was accepted by Awa. Here you have Norm and, well, all the Avatar drivers on Pandora were deathly afraid of Grace. You know, whatever you do, don't piss her off. You know, this being able to be in what's wrong with this picture? But being able to be on a team was so amazing to all of them, and her mindset permeated everyone else's psyche, and her mindset was, this is a great tool. I think that she looked at her avatar body like she did a microscope. Wow, what a great tool, I can play with it.
Yeah.
With Jake, he was the first one that this was just a toy at Christmas time. It was his second skin. And this is really, I believe, what explains away why Grace wasn't accepted fully by Awa. You know, Awa sucked her in and said, here, you know, you can be part of me, you can be part of Pandora. But it's like she wasn't worthy of making the, as Moet said, going through the Eye of Awa and coming out a Na'vi. Look at the way that she dressed up the avatars in shoes. She locked up the avatars away from humans. A very, very subtle part of that last scene, right when she says, lights out, kiddies, she locks the humans out so that humans cannot come in and screw around with the avatars. The avatars are in Hell's Gate. They're surrounded by a DMZ, which in, it's not explained in the movie, but in the ASG, there's a dead zone that's constantly patrolled by robotic plant killers. There are robotic guard towers. There are human guards. There are guards on patrol. You could walk around in the Avatar courtyard, and that is probably the safest place on Pandora, and yet she locks the avatars away from the humans. Now, that says a lot about, well, you know, Max says that she doesn't like humans to begin with, but that shows you how she perceives the avatars, whereas Neytiria and her clan, they just sleep out on a giant leaf.
Well, yeah, anyway. I mean, that whole theme with Grace is held throughout the movie. You can see every single time she's doing one of her experiments, or even when she first enters in the clan, the when Jake says that she was allowed back in again. You can see how, although she's happy to see him, she's talking in Na'vi, saying hello and stuff, you can definitely see that kind of, I don't know how you would say it, like, observer's disconnect from being emotionally involved with these people.
Exactly, exactly. Also, when you see Jake accepted into the tribe, you see that little tear in her eye. She wanted it so much, but she's seeing it from an intellectual point of view. She can't. He possesses that primal sense that is Awa. That's his connection to Awa that she could never get because she was too much of a scientific observer.
Yeah.
That, and she was critically wounded.
True.
I think that's a nice excuse. Her avatar body was not critically wounded.
One little tangent I'd like to go on is, did anybody notice when you're watching the scene and Jake starts running outside, he gets outside of the lab area and starts just bolting it, meets Grace out there and whatnot. When he was panning around Jake and just following Jake as he was doing his thing, did any of you guys notice how big the scale of just the avatar section of Hell's Gate was?
Oh yeah,
the whole
like the whole obstacle course and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they gave them a lot of room.
I mean, you look at it; they got a whole fence line around there. They've got, because you figure the avatars themselves are 10 feet tall. You see that one climbing that straight wall with the rope part? That thing's got to be at least 60 feet tall if it's big enough for him to climb. And then you've got these towers that even go higher than that. And also, another thing, did anybody notice the scale of the garden that he was running through?
Oh, yeah. That the native plants that they've been gardening and all that.
Yeah, it was quite a farm.
It goes to show how intuitive the humans are to the fact that they can't bring that much food with them, so they got to grow some there.
It also might have to do with the diet that the Na'vi human hybrid bodies need to have. They need the nutrition that's there on the planet, because it might not be the same as we need as humans.
That's very true, because, I mean, you got the Na'vi physiology you're dealing with in conjunction with the human physiology. Although, from what we understand from James Cameron, that is, that the physiology between us and them are pretty much the same. There's not too many differences aside from being 10 foot tall and wearing medical clothing that shows your butt the whole scene.
And having the tail.
And the tail. It's another thing, too. When we see Grace for the first time, anybody notice how young her avatar body looks compared to how she looks?
Good point.
Explains
why Jake is so shocked.
She's all wrinkly and like old. No offense to Sigourney Weaver, but she has a few wrinkles. And then her avatar body is like youthful and strong.
Peter, get the kettle prod.
Did you guys read the old script? Yeah, the old script that was leaked, the writing script from like 4 years ago or whatever it was. There's a description of Grace's avatar. It's like, Grace, lithe, 30 years old. Like, Grace is middle-aged, but her avatar is that of a beautiful young woman's body, and it's like almost a little like, whoa. Like, I couldn't look at that. I couldn't watch that scene in the same way anymore after I read that.
Well, that's funny, because Jake goes, damn.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like, Jake is like, whoa.
I'm going to give you some of that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, with my boss.
Yeah.
Sorry, boss.
Anyway, more about the scene though. I agree with you guys about how Jake is free of any preconceptions, and that is why he's accepted by the Na'vi. That is why he can do whatever he wants without fear of retribution or judgment from Grace, because he's already coming in on scholastically a lower level, but that just means that he's free to be himself. He brings with him the physicality of being a Marine, so, and all of the Jungle Gym stuff shows that all of these other people, humans, had to train so hard in their bodies, but he just like got in and bam, like was already proficient.
You bring up a very good point. He wasn't just a Marine. Now this is kind of hard to understand if you haven't been a Marine, and no offense to anyone who hasn't, but as the Colonel points out when he says, I was first recon myself a few years before you, or something like that, pardon my bad imitation of the Colonel, but he wasn't just a Marine. He was the kind of Marine that goes into the jungle for training and then literally stays there. On Earth, he was the equivalent of Rambo. Because of the Colonel saying Venezuela, that was some mean bush. Jake's job as a recon Marine was to be a loner, was to go off and gather information or blow up a bridge. He wasn't part of the infantry. There weren't 100 people all standing in one place with rifles going, okay, we're going to charge now. So he was literally trained for the Avatar program in a roundabout way that no one could have anticipated.
And it also goes to show with his Marine training how quickly he picked up regaining the use of his legs, like you pointed out earlier, how Norm was just stumbling left and right all back there, and he's off there bolting faster than our fastest sprinters here on Earth. And he's just doing it quick, too. Which brings up another point. Did anybody notice, before he enters the Avatar, Grace is slamming him down to the ground with insults left and right, saying, what were you thinking coming here, being crippled as you are? And then, after he's all good to go, after he's running through the garden and stuff, Grace is pretty much over there smiling, throwing a fruit at him, and pretty much accepting him.
Yeah, but even there she doesn't say, wow, nice to see that you handle the body so well, or something. She goes, well, motorics look good.
Yeah, yeah, I consider that kind of a...
It was, both you bring up excellent points on that, yeah. It was acceptance, and it was conditional acceptance, but it also showed that even in her avatar body, her mind is just clicking away. As you know, well, motor reflexes work well, and breathing functions, and she's still a scientist, which is almost like the anti-Na'vi.
One more thing: anybody notice how many avatars there actually were in the scene? Anybody count?
No. Tell us.
Well, there's a total of 13 avatars, including Grace, Jake, and Norm. There are 13 separate avatars just that scene alone.
Okay, that's downright biblical.
And then also, did you notice how many beds there were in the shack when they're going to sleep?
I couldn't
there's only four, right?
There's only two rows of five.
Wait, in the shack?
In the shack. There's only two rows of five, meaning there's ten. Sort of the other three sleep.
Okay, I've got to go back and see that. I do have a standing thought that there are 10 or 12 links. I can't figure out which one in the circular control room.
Maybe there are other link rooms, and maybe there are other like bunks where the other Na'vi bodies sleep.
There's a minimum of 13 avatars at the Hell's Gate itself.
Okay, James, I got to stop you here. When you say shack, what I'm thinking is, Jake says location, shack. That's the two little boxes when they're up at, the Hallelujah Mountains. You know, that site. Are you talking about the circular room?
Right? No, I'm talking about the place where they're all sleeping, where Grace is shooing all the scientists and telling them
the barracks.
That thing where she locks all the humans out. Thank you. Yeah. I couldn't figure out what you meant with that.
There's only 10 beds there. And there's 13 avatars in that
How did
space.
You count 10 beds? Wow. You're good. You're really
good. There could have been more beds off screen.
Little challenge to everybody. Try and point out the 13 avatars in that scene. It's really hard.
Challenge of the week. Count all the avatars you can in that scene. Go.
Set. No, that means now. Ka. There you go.
I just wanted to say something about more meta. Like, I know the idea of the everyman coming in and performing better than the trained scientists is an idea that's very close to James Cameron's heart.
I like that.
I mean,
I
don't know. I don't know how tired you guys are of comparisons between Avatar and, James Cameron's other movie. That other movie, what was it called?
Dances with the Wolves.
In Titanic, you have Jack going in. He's not in the high class. He's just like a living man with a real strong beating heart, you know, kind of like Neytiri says about Jake's strong heart. And then he goes in and he wins this girl, and he's like, by the grace of something, by grace, I guess, by grace, he is able to go in and excel in these situations. And that is the same that's happening with Jake. Like, he's just waltzing in here, and by grace, he is excelling in things that the scientists could not because they came with too many preconceptions. They were trying too hard. So that is a very like core idea of James Cameron's movie making, and I think that's one that resonates extremely well with American audiences. The American dream is all about Horatio Alger, rags to riches. Like, if you have the heart, if you have the passion, like, you can do anything. And, not to, like, be anti-intellectual or anything. It's more about appealing to the everyman than knocking down the intellectuals. Cause we all know we need the PhDs. Like, we need the scientists. But it's a more enjoyable human story for the average viewer like you and me.
I thought it was interesting that when Jake gets brought before the clan later, he says that his cup is empty, and that they said when they try to teach the others, they're full. So both of them want to learn. Like, Jake wanted to learn, and so did the scientists. But the scientists weren't willing to put themselves in there like Jake was. Jake is in the middle of all of this, and he says, "This is so awesome. I want to, you know, do all the stuff that they're doing."
Outstanding.
That brings out a good point. For me, watching Jake like this, it was like kicking a baby bird out of the nest. Jake literally fell to the ground, and before he hit the ground, he was already flying. Norm had spent 500 hours practicing and training and 5 years learning Na'vi, and Jake just jumps in his body. It's like he was born into this or born to do it. Also, Norm's psyche is that of a researcher, and he's willing to take the sanitized route, where Jake is just so primal, like Awa itself is very primal.
Right.
So it was like a perfect marriage.
Norm is such a dork, just like me.
I know.
That's why I love him.
Too fun. Norm is the best. Hey, here's a little interesting thought, though. That fruit that she threw at him was probably, from Jake's point of view, or from Jake's standpoint as a human, that was probably the first raw fruit or non-RDA approved corporate food mush that he'd eaten in years.
The RDA corporate mush?
Yeah. Well, I allow the fact that he was in Venezuela, which assuming was jungle because the colonel says that was some mean bush, that he might be one of the few humans who actually had a fruit at one point. So that may have been the first time you've ever tasted fruit. But if not, just that right there was probably would have gone for a couple hundred dollars, if not a couple thousand dollars on the black market on Earth. Like, look, here's some fruit.
Oh my gosh, I will never be able to think of strawberries the same again.
On this week's episode of CSI Pandora, Sergeant Lyle Wainfleet makes a chilling discovery.
These men didn't die in a mining accident. They were shot.
Little did he know what was coming.
What do you mean, arrows? These are bullet holes.
I'd say it's time to kill some savages.
Colonel, the man crawled 400 feet through the mud to make it to Hell's Gate. We know Navi neurotoxin kills in seconds.
We will fight terror with terror.
But sir, he made it to sickbay. He held his guts in with one hand as he crawled across the entire landing zone.
That's because he's one of mine. My men are trained not to die. We will avenge this brave man's death.
Colonel, sir, this man is still alive. Actually, it looks like he was shot with an IBF Protection Solutions GS-221 30 caliber light machine gun.
We will blast a crater in the Navi psyche so deep that they will...
Actually, sir, it looks like he might pull through. There's not going to be a need for...
Case closed. Tune in to CSI Pandora on your local satellite channel.
Hello there, I'm Peter, or as the LearnNavi.org forums know me, KTMU. Life so far equipped me with a German master in electronics and an incredible amount of curiosity. So it's fairly easy to see where my main interest lies, technology, and all the little details that are hidden in Avatar. But since I enjoy learning new things, I didn't stop at high-tech, and meanwhile I know a lot of little snips on many subjects. Want to know how fusion engine works? Or how to create arrows? What about this super corporation called RDA? Where does it come from, and is there anyone able to stop it? Go on, ask, and I'll find an answer.
Okay, so I got to check out Zoe's new film, Losers, last night, and I wanted to give everyone a quick heads up on it. Take this all with a grain of salt, as it's just my personal opinion. Yours may be different. First of all, the movie is no Avatar, but Zoe is simply amazing in it, as you would expect. And I felt like I was watching a two-hour episode of the A-Team, but with Zoe in it, which made it really cool, because you get the A-Team, and you get Zoe. Now, I had to consciously suspend disbelief as bullets flew everywhere, but no one really got hurt, except for hundreds of bad guys, of course. There were several explosions, some cheesy plot lines, and a guy who reminded me of Russell Crowe, but all this made me feel like I was 16 again and watching any other action movie. What really stood out was a well-filmed fight scene that reminded me of Mr. and Mrs. Smith. In fact, between that fight scene and Zoe's subsequent costuming, I have to say she's well on her way to becoming the next Angelina. Not only is she smoking hot, but she's got this deep-seated sexuality that feels primal and animalistic, and it translates onto the screen very well. I feel no shame in saying that she reminded me of Angelina in Gone in 60 Seconds. For the money, you can't go wrong. Don't expect a script that's going to make you think, or any real statement on society. It's an unabashed popcorn movie. Buy some, sit back, and enjoy the ride, and find out why Jake Sully is going to be so pissed off that his girlfriend's in this movie. Believe me when I say there are some scenes in this movie no fanboy should miss. Rated PG, and sorry it's not in 3D.
You're listening to the number one podcast on Earth!
Technically, that isn't even close to accurate.
Where do we stand in the ratings?
Currently, dead last.
What about Mars?
Dead last.
Io?
Dead last.
The Kuiper Belt?
Dead last.
Mars?
Still dead last.
What about Pandora?
Let me get the paperwork. I have it right here. right behind 3 Tail 2 Tails and a baby.
Oh, God, that show sucks. All right, let me think about this. I got it.
You're listening to the number one least listened to podcast on Earth. We're a club so exclusive your mom doesn't even know you're listening.
So once an episode, we like to showcase a fan creation. For our first showcase, I wanted to cover the LearnNotBe.org dictionary. This is an unofficial dictionary, but this is the first NotBe dictionary the public has seen. And again, while it's by no means official or has anything to do with Fox, it has been put together with meticulous precision and argued over endlessly by the most advanced students of the NotBe language in this planet.
Yeah, and this document is the cornerstone of the LearnNotBe.org community. I mean, if you are a member of the community and have not heard of the dictionary, something must be wrong.
Yeah, this thing is amazing. Every few days, you can literally go onto the website and pick up an updated version of the dictionary. And it's not only written in English for those of us in the United States and the UK and everywhere else, but it's written and it's translated into 5 other world languages: French, German, Portuguese, Estonian, Russian, and most recently, as a joke, Navi. So, all you Navi who are learning how to read, now you know what your own dang words mean. Words are so graciously added to the dictionary constantly by Paul Frommer himself when we need them, when we beg for them.
Let me interject something here. I heard that Paul Frommer, I hope I didn't butcher his name. Sorry, Doc, if I did. I heard that he's kind of given his blessing on us, right?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, it is a collaborative effort, right, Corey?
Yeah, this is definitely a collaborative effort by many of the LearnNotBe members, but the primary architect of the dictionary is the moderator, Taranyu, who has...
I like that guy.
Yeah, he's an awesome guy. He's invested countless hours and days.
He owes me $20.
Yeah, he has spent tons of time on this dictionary, and it really shows. It's obvious that he spends forever trying to, you know, design it, refine it, ferreting out the imperfections, and it's truly, truly a labor of love for this community. And like every other dictionary, it contains listings like you would find, you know, the word and its definition, if it's a noun or a verb. And it even has international pronunciation symbols. You know. Yeah, and it draws meticulously from official sources, you know, such as the movie, Avatar, the various scripts that we've seen, the activist survival guide that was released with a little bonus dictionary in the back, and most importantly, from Professor Frommer himself, the man James Cameron hired to develop the language for the movie Avatar. Any sources considered questionable or noted, but, you know, they provide maximum clarity.
I've seen that. Like, sometimes you'll look up a word and it'll say obsolete or illegal or apparently it's been out of date, or Frommer has put his foot down and said, we're not going to use that word anymore. Because sometimes some of the words from the Activist Survival Guide, which was, well, it was the first official dictionary and the only thing we have from Fox, but some people said that that was kind of rushed together. So Frommer's gone backwards and said, no, this is...
No, you're correct. There has been some changes made since that little bonus dictionary in the back of the survival guide. And there's even been some stuff that Taranyu has made some guesses on, such as some roots, and he marked those that you shouldn't take them 100% seriously because Frommer didn't attest those. But for every word that comes straight from Frommer himself, it's noted that you know that it's official.
Yeah, so I think to wrap it up pretty nicely, this is the essential dictionary you need to start learning the language. It's a priceless resource.
And it's free.
There you go.
So you go to LearnNavi.org. That's LearnNavi.org. There's no hyphens or any of that. And right on the front page. You have to scroll down once, but there's these giant green buttons. And Andrew, I think there's like a button for each language or something.
Yeah, and each button even shows you when it's been updated.
Oh, cool. So you just find the language that you like, you click on it, and what are they? They're PDFs or CSVs or...
Both. Both. You can pick it up in either flavor. If you don't have a PDF reader, you can try CVS.
No, CSV. In other
words, sorry.
You can edit the it's a spreadsheet, basically. Yeah, you can edit the dictionary. Okay, well, that's cool. So that's our showcase for the week. Stay tuned. Next time, we'll be showcasing Plant Life of Pandora. This fine segment is brought to you by the following sponsors.
Attention, investors. Prepare to increase the value of your portfolio by a teeny tiny bit. The Boston Mint has been authorized by itself to create a reproduction of a coin that has never before been seen on Earth. Or anywhere else, for that matter. In fact, they're making the whole thing up. But they'd like to introduce to you the stupendous, amazing, monumental, semi-sort of realistic, artificial, hollow-lead, kind of gold-plated, econ, flippy-flappy flyer coin. Just look closely at your radio right now. See how gorgeous it is? This coin has the beautiful wingspread of the mountain Ikran on one side, and the perfect flatness that only lead can provide on the other. Coated in realistic artificial gold leaf, well, actually it's just a tiny bit of gold food coloring that'll rub off after the first couple of flings, but it looks expensive. Why, India and China have each bought 10 million of them. Joke's on them. I mean, what could they know that you don't? And look! If you snap the coin into the air with your thumb, the Flippy Flappy Flyer actually flies, just like a real Ikran. Except dead. But it will fly up to 220 feet. Actual distance may vary depending on wind speed, force of gravity on the world you fling it on, atmospheric density, the color of your dog, the distance it takes a man to run to the store for milk and back while wearing corundum-soled shoes on a desert planet, the speed ducks fly while going backward in a hurricane, the springiness of the mattress you slept on the night before, and the price of tea on Coruscant. And this amazing collectible has so many different uses. Do you have a screw loose? Well, the Ikran Flippy Flappy Flyer coin can be used as a screwdriver, provided the slot is an eighth of an inch wide and the screw is already loose, otherwise it might bend out of shape. And they double as slingshot ammunition. You can shoot your little brother in the head and only give him a minor concussion. Not made for regulation slingshot use. Do not aim at people or small animals. Hammerheads are fine. They have tough skin. Shoot them all you want. Magpies everywhere just love these things. Its gold surface never tarnishes, corrodes, or degrades. Except on planets that contain any of the following in their atmospheres. Oxygen, nitrogen, xenon, helium, hydrogen, water vapor, mauve paint, the sweat of any guy named Josh, a glob of peanut butter, a fish named Buford, any car tires made after the year 1932, radium gas, charcoal, lighter fluid, or corundum. And it comes with its own complete lead poisoning revival kit. Keep out of reach of infants, children, or anyone else who, if eaten, could become dead. So don't wait! Start your portfolio with the semi-sort of realistic artificial hollow lead kind of gold-plated Ikran Flippy Flappy Flyer coin today. And hold on to it, because in 10 years, it could be worth 1/10 of what you paid for it. You'll be sorry if you do. I mean, don't.
The fact that so many famous stars recommend
Radio Avatar
shows how right it is for delicate skin.
Kautit Mafrapo. Hey everyone, Ting here with another edition to Culture Corner. Today we're going to cover a very important part of the Omaticaya culture that we don't get to see in the movie. According to the Activist Survival's Guide, or ASG for short, many Na'vi tribes specialize in certain crafts, such as carving or weaving. For the Omaticaya, that specialty is weaving. At the center of Home Tree is a massive loom, described to be bigger than the largest of Earth's pipe organ. In the ASG, one word for that loom is Ewa Si Ilvi Maskit Nivi, or Maskit Nivi for short, if you can forgive that horrible pronunciation, which translates into Ewa's wisdom is revealed to us all. This gives us an idea of how the Na'vi see their Great Mother, as a weaver bringing elements of the world together into a beautiful, balanced picture. With this knowledge, we know that for the Na'vi, especially the Omaticaya, weaving is not just a practical activity, but a profoundly spiritual one as well. In the ASG, there's a short song that gives an example of what would be commonly heard around the loom. One line translates into "Spiral of the lives, lives of the people, fill me," which continues to show the spiritual nature of weaving. It also shows another important task weaving has for the Aumatikaya, and that is bringing people together. The Aumatikaya are clearly a close community, and weaving can be a task for bonding. The beautiful hammocks we see in the film are a prime example of this. The Aumatikaya prefer to sleep in large groups, as sleeping by yourself for extended periods of time is a sign of distress. So the hammocks need to be strong and have a deep symbolic meaning for the Aumatikaya. The hammock can last for as long as 20 earth years, and it's up to the clan elder to decide when a new one is needed. This is an exciting time for the family, as it will bring both the family and the tribe together to make a new one. Everyone participates in helping craft it, and there are several ceremonies that take place to put the new one up and burn the old one, which range from large joyous parties to solemn moments of memory. The whole task is a bonding experience for the family and brings them even closer together. So, that's it for today. Want to discuss this topic in more detail or just want to learn more about the Na'vi culture in general? Come to the culture boards over at learnnavi.org, where a new voice is always welcomed.
Zula'un Departe, which means welcome to another exciting episode of Learn to Speak Na'vi, or Nume Futa Fute Na'vi, with your host, Ian Riley, a.k.a. Fatiafapi. So, this is our first NerdNavi.org combined with the Radio Avatar podcast language segment. First of many, hopefully.
Woohoo!
So today we're going to be doing basic pronunciation, and this is just going to be some useful words. So the first thing we're going to do today is everybody's favorite line, hopefully, from the movie, I See You. And it was said in English a lot, but there are a couple times in the movie where it was actually said in Na'vi. So we're going to learn how to say I See You in Na'vi. So the phrase in Na'vi, I see you, is Wel Ngati Kame.
Yay.
I'm going to find a way to reach to my computer monitor and punch you. But somehow I guess that would end up in me breaking my monitor. So I'll do that later. So anyway, in Na'vi, it's Wel Ngati Kame. And obviously that's a little fast. Wel Ngati Kame. The first word, it's I, and it's O-A, but it's kind of in a contracted form, so it's pronounced we, and then there's an L on the end, so it's well. So let's have you guys all say that.
Well.
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 Yeah, it's got a little bit of an O sound in front of it rather than a W. I'm kind of overemphasizing the W, but it's well.
Well.
All right, good. The next word's a little tougher. Because it has a consonant cluster that's normally not seen in English at the start of a word. And this is the NG sound that you find on the end of words like sing. And so this the word is nga.
Nga.
And so you have, yeah, so it's not na, it's nga. There's a G sound at the back of your throat. So it's that nasaler sound. So nga.
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 Yep. And then we have a T-I on the end of that. So it becomes ngati. Ngati.
Ngati.
Perfect. And you guys got it just right because it's not, yeah, it's not a naughty. You know, it's not that harsh
stop it, Peter.
T sound. It's what's called an unaspirated T. So it sounds a little like a D. T. So it's ngati. So we'll have you guys try that one last time. So it's ngati.
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 Excellent. All right, so we have well ngati. And then the final word is kame, which is C. So you have I-U-C. You've got to love the Na'vi word order, free word order for the win. And so the last word is kame. Or, I'm sorry, I butchered that horribly. Game. It's kind of a G instead of a K. It's again, we have an unaspirated K, so it's not the harsh K. It's a softer K. It's not the K in kill. It's the K in the English word skill. So it's kame. There, I did it right. This gets really confusing.
You sound Italian.
This gets really confusing. Trust me.
Kame.
Exactly. There we go. Perfect. All right.
Gummy.
Yes.
Ooh, I like that.
Yep. Gummy. So the full sentence is well ngati game. Now let's hear you guys try it.
Well ngati game.
Well ngati game.
Well ngati game.
Well ngati game. Game.
Excellent. Yeah, a little harsh than Kate, but yeah, you got it just right. All right, and for you people following at home, good luck. Yeah, I can't correct you or help you, but you have a lovely rewind feature, so you can go back and listen again if you missed that. All right, so that is how you say in not V, I see you. And that's not the physically see. That's not the I see you in front of me. That's the I see you spiritually. I see inside
that's
you.
That's like a formal way of saying hello, right?
It's less formal and more familiar. It's the familiar way. You wouldn't say to someone you've never met. Maybe if they were famous. But otherwise, no, you wouldn't say it. It's the kind of, you say it to your friends, your parents, your brothers, your sisters, someone you deeply respect.
Your cat?
Your cat.
So it's cat. It's I see you spiritually.
Yes.
Okay, I have no cat, so...
Your ikran, then. I don't know. Yes, so that's the Na'vi way to say I see you. And you can use that to ward off strange people at shopping malls when they bug you. And
so how would you say hello to a stranger?
That's a good question.
Well, thank you.
The Na'vi word for the informal hello is kalte. It's got an ejected T in it, so it makes that harsh T sound. And the trouble spot that a lot of people have is the last letter is I. The last sound is I, which we don't have at the end of a word in English. So that trips people up a lot. They tend to turn that into an E. So again, it's kalte.
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 Excellent. Yep, so that's the not V, just hello. That can be used in any situation, though it's not really very informal. It's an informal hello, so it should probably be saved for, just casual meetings.
Now, is that a soft K or a hard K?
Not V always has soft Ks, unless it's an ejected K. It's not the K, again, it's not the K in kill, it's the K in skill. So, kalte.
Skill.
Yeah. William just made it for the people who can't see the text message in front of us. William made an excellent comment that we should talk about a little tidbit that Frommer just gave us today or in the past for you mighty spacemen from the future who are listening to this whenever we post it. Frommer gave us a little tidbit unofficially that not V, if you're not V with a cell phone and you're text messaging your not V friends as you do. You can type abbreviations of certain words, like LOL in Na'vi would be HRH, and that comes from the Na'vi word harangham, which is laughing. So that's an abbreviated harangham is HRH. So that is the Na'vi version of LOL.
Harangham.
Harangham. Yep, and that's another word we can use, laughing, though you probably need a sentence to have that make much sense. I guess since we're still doing useful words, I guess we'll touch on one last useful word, and that would be thank you, or thanks, rather. And that's irayo.
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 Yep. And a lot of people...
Irayo. Like E-I-E-I-O?
Exactly. It's got... A lot of people, when they see it written down, it's written with starting with an I, and they tend to say irayo, because that's usually what happens in English when you have an I at the start of the word.
For the first month, I was saying I-ray-o.
Yeah, same.
Oh, guys, my initial pronunciations of Na'vi were tremendously horrible. I cringe every time I think of them. Nightmares and such. But, yeah, so you got that I in the front, and so it's not an irayo, it's irayo. So irayo.
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 And a good point to make right here, cool. Na'vi R, it's... called an alveolar flapped R, and it's kind of the rolled, it's like a rolled R only with one roll. So it's like the R in the Spanish word pero, so it's irayo and not irayo.
Irayo.
I have a quick question.
Sure.
I gotta ask, what is karyu for Paul? When it's karyu Paul, how do you, what's it mean and how do you say it?
Karyu Paul means teach, and actually it should be pronounced Paul. Karyu Paul would be the Na'vi pronunciation of it. But it's Karyu means teacher, literally. It just means it's person who teaches.
Cat, are you? Oh, that's really hard.
It is kind of a hard one. I'm Yeah, I'm kind of butchering it myself. Cat, are you Paul? Yeah, cat, are you Paul?
Cat, are you Paul?
Cat, are you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cat, are you?
Yes. Yeah. Nafi has some of these weird tongue twisters every once in a while. All right. Lastly, I just to wrap this up, I want to do a little bit on a movie line, and this is probably my favorite line from the movie in Na'vi, and it's the line in English is "These demons are forbidden here," and in Na'vi it's "Vayvarre Fisingluk'ani."
Whoa!
And I love it because it has every unique thing about the Na'vi language in a nutshell. It's got the rolled R. It's got an adjective. It's got a whole bunch of unique and interesting things. So it's Vayvarre Fisingluk'ani. And we'll obviously break that down a little bit. The first word is Vayvarre, which is Fi plus Vartep. So so the first part's Fi.
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 Yep. Fi.
Like the start part, of fire, no?
Yes, yeah. It's just like the start of the word fi, the English word fire. So it's fi, and then you have V-R-R, which is vr. And that's the rolled R. So this becomes a challenge for the learners out there who can't do the rolled R yet. Unfortunately, there's no easy way to say it. If you want to speak Na'vi, you have to learn how to do the rolled R. And it's a challenge, I know, if it doesn't come to you naturally. But for this example, we'll assume you've mastered the rolled R. So it's vr. And then we have Dep. And
Dep.
A note here is that it's V-R-T-E-P. And that means demon.
Ooh, I like that word.
Whenever you have a T, a P, or a K at the end of a Na'vi word, they become what's called unreleased, which means you say basically the first half of that letter, but you don't finish it. So P turns into P, and K or K turns into K. And you kind of try to stop it right halfway through the sound. So instead of vartep, you say vartep.
So you hold the word in then, or the letter.
Yes. Yeah. That kind of confuses a lot of people because it's not an obvious rule, but it's definitely there and makes a big difference in the pronunciation. So it's vartep instead of vartep. So you can definitely hear there's a definite difference between the two.
Oh, I had never.
So
heard
what does
that
this mean
before.
Again?
That means these demons. Sorry, demons.
Oh, right.
Yep. Yep.
Duh.
So Vayvarre is these demons.
That would be all of you.
And
is it the same thing as calling it unaspirated, or is that something different?
They're related, but different.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or unvoiced or something? Do you use your voice? When you're saying
this is where I become a non-linguist, and my non-linguist side is showing where I'm not sure what the difference is between unreleased and the unvoiced is. But I do know the difference between unreleased and unaspirated.
Okay.
And they're related, but definitely different. Unaspirated is a sound that doesn't have a puff of air that accompanies it.
Mm-hmm.
These are found in the what's called plosive sounds, the P's, T's, K's, B's. All the things that have a P to it.
Okay.
And they have an aspirated and an unaspirated component to them. And the aspirated one is, it makes a little puff of air when you say it. It's like the K in kill, or the P in pull. And then you have the unaspirated versions, which don't have those little puffs of air, but there's still a P, T, K sound and that kind of thing. So like, as opposed to kill, you have skill, or as opposed to pull, you have spill. And, the K kind of turns into a G sound. The P kind of turns almost into a B sound, and the T almost turns into a D sound. Almost. There's still P, T, K, and B.
So for Tep, is it kind of like you keep your lips shut when you make the P? Vr-tep, instead of vr-tep.
You can cheat by closing your lips off,
okay.
But you can actually do it with your lip. You can actually do it without doing that.
That makes sense.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a great way to cheat if you're having trouble with it and to get used to make it to that sound. But you can actually do it just by closing off your throat, just like by closing off your windpipe right halfway through the P.
Oh.
That's Yeah. Tep. And it's tricky.
Tep.
Yeah.
Tep.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
Woohoo.
So yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, we're learning things. Hurrah. So the next word in that sentence, without getting off topic too much, is fitsinge. And this is heard a couple times in the movie, so there's great examples of it for you people who have the DVD when this podcast comes out. So this is fitsinge, and this should be a pretty easy word. It, you know, it's fe plus a TS sound.
Tss.
So we have fitsinge. So it's I'll try to speed this up a bit. So we have fe,
fe,
se, ing,
e,
ing, and e. So those are all common English sounds. So it should be pretty easy. So fitsinge,
fitsinge, fitsinge. Yep. So there's no G like hard G sounds. So it's never fitsinge, which
yeah, okay. Nafi has no fitsinge. Hard G's.
Oh, yep. None at all. Okay.
None at all.
Yep.
So it, yep, it's always the G only appears within that NG consonant cluster, the okay. ng sound, that nasaler NG sound. Yep. So we have fitsinge. Then we have the word, fitsinge means this place. So we have these demons and this place. And then we have lu, which is the verb to be. Which in not be doesn't get conjugated depending on what you do with it. So it can be to be, it can be are, it can be is, it can be am. And in this sentence, it's replacing the English word are. So we have fivartep, fitsinge, lu.
It sounds like what you're saying is that lu is a concept for
yes.
a state of being rather than breaking it down. English breaks it down into little pigeonholes.
Yes, which is
excellent. Dry paint buff. You know, if something loos, it just is.
It,
exactly.
It is it ours? It... Hi.
Yeah, the best way I've heard someone describe loo is it's an equal sign. You know, it's
that's good.
It
good.
Says
really
good. It says this equals that, and it works.
Loo
it really does.
Equals.
I've never seen a situation yeah, that doesn't like work. It. So if you see loo, you can think of it as an equal sign. And they just input the appropriate English, you know, conjugation of the verb to be. So so we have lu. All right. And then the last word is... I forget how the sentence goes. Kani, which is forbidden. It starts with an adjective, which is one of the cool things about Na'vi. And it's kind of a popping K sound. And it's made by kind of closing off your throat and just building up some pressure in your windpipe. And then just releasing it suddenly into a K sound, so it comes out. Yep. Yep. And if you're having trouble with it, you can kind of fake it. You can kind of fake it slash learn it by making a harsh case. It just doing a very exaggerated English K, like ka ka, and that will eventually turn into. And then you can put in words in kani.
What's the rest of the word?
Kani.
Ani?
So it's ani.
Kani.
So ani. Yep.
Okay.
So kani.
So it's one of the eyes with the little...
Yep. The.
Okay.
Yeah, the funny eye that comes out as an I sound. So we'll do the full sentence. And it's... Okay. Vaivartep singu kani.
Vaivartep singu kani.
Singu ani.
Say it again, Judy. You have it best.
No, see, I keep doing the on the end of the.
That's okay. Just roll with that.
You're just starting.
I have to write it down.
So is it fitsing? Is it fitsing lu? Is that how you say it? Is fitsing lu?
Fitsinge lu. It kind of blends together a little bit. So, fivartep fitsinge lu kane.
Fivartep
fitsinge lu kane.
And as an asterisk, I apologize to any more advanced linguists than I who are learning the Na'vi language and who will probably hate me for anything I butcher, because I am not a linguist and they are. But I like everyone.
Anyone who actually speaks Na'vi is listening to this podcast.
Leave comments for us. and we will address
yes.
them.
Well, as Frommer himself has said, you know, we're all beginners.
Send all hate mail to Santa Claus.
So what we've learned
North
today,
Pole.
We've learned that Lou equals E. Yes. But more importantly, we've learned how to say "I see you," or "Well, ngatikame." We've learned how to say "hello," which is "kaute." We learned how to say "thanks," which is "irayo." We strangely enough learned how to say "lol" and "laughing," which is "harangham" and "hrh."
Harangham.
Harangham. And I think I'm butchering that, but that's okay. And
oh,
yeah.
Two words we got to learn before we go away. Teach us how to say yes and no.
Ah, okay, yes. Or in that case, it'd be I'm losing my voice here. Slane. Drink of water time.
Slane.
Slane.
Slane. Like,
yes.
That's that word that Ntiri uses.
Yes, exactly.
In the banshee scene, right?
Oh.
She's all excited.
Slane.
Slane. Yep. Or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you hear that one a lot in the movie. And you also hear the no a lot in the movie as well, which is kehe. That's a little easier on the tongue. Kehe.
Oh, yep. Is it kehe so or kehe?
The second one, kehe. It's that eh sound. Okay. So kehe.
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 Yep, so we have sane and kehe.
So when your mom tells you to clean your room, you can just say yep. Kehe.
And for good measure, you can add a hiss to the end.
Just be careful she doesn't listen to the podcast, too.
Yeah, then she'll come back with
if mom speaks better not than we do, we're in trouble. We're all in trouble.
Then I'm
sorry,
moving
mom.
In.
Yeah.
Well, you might have the coolest mom ever. I mean, anyway. Maybe not.
What was that teacher word?
Karayu
Paul.
Karayu Paul.
Yep.
Karayu. Karayu Paul. Paul is his name.
Paul.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's a novelization of his name, which is Paul. Paul Frommer.
Right. Well, thank you, Teacher Ian.
Karayu Irayo. Irayo. Irayo, Karayu Ian.
Irayo,
Karayu TFP. Irayo, Karayu TFP.
Irayo, Ma Elan. I'm not sure.
And Irayo to the listeners for listening, too.
Yes.
If there are still any here, huh?
Oh, and
hello,
and,
single listener. We love you.
Irayo for Judy for sitting in for the ailing Ting Etik Ting. Well, I say it's time for another song.
No way. No. Not again.
Not again.
Oh, come on. You're going to like this.
You
Yay!
Sure?
Yay, okay, good. So when I say 1, 2, 3, go, I really mean everybody better start singing because I'm the only one who's going to be singing.
Do you want me to get my pitch pipe? Olo ektan timinari tukru ira ira yo.
Olo ektan timinari
ira ira yo. Everybody. Olo ektan timinari ira ira yo. Yay!
That went better than expected.
With
tell.
All the vent lag, I mean Skype lag, that was hilarious.
That was
so important question. When I edit this together, do you want me to leave it as jumbled as that was, or do you want me to mush them all together so that they're actually synced up?
No, leave it as jumbled as we as it is.
Write us at podcast@radioavatar.com. Stop in to see us at learnnavi.org, friend us on Facebook, or follow our progress at twitter.com/radioavatar. If you're tired of always searching for new episodes, subscribe to us on iTunes. And if that's still not enough, see blog.radioavatar.com.
Hi, Charlie. What you watching?
Ballet.
Oh, how is it?
Too soon to tell. So far, it's been nothing but dancing.
I apologize for getting up terribly late in the night and thus ruining my work
for
power for the next day.
Better at pronunciation than me and is listening to my horrible lesson.
I would like to extend my apologies to my boyfriend who has been sitting next to me this entire time with his headphones on. He's listening to
hello, patient boyfriend.
Ridiculous Navi songs into this microphone. I'll bring him on board. I'd like to apologize for that.
Good.
I made someone weep, apparently.
I'd like to apologize to Paul Frommer for any, you know, disemboweling of the language that we may do during this podcast.
I'm going to apologize for not being able to pronounce it. It's in the... Shut up! Other person, Andrew, who can't speak because he has no voice or something. But I'm apologizing for him. Yeah, his computer's sick. Moving on.
I'd like to apologize to my mom. I'm officially changing my name at the end of the show.
Oro ektan ta te krut timer, ira ira o, harwea te krufa te keng keng oe, ira ira o. Septi hook mit fetsang, ot te echo mit satsang, fetsing te kook satsang echo, te kook te hook mak te ko. Oro ektan ta te krut timer, ira ira o.
What was that?
I think the most the biggest thing is at the Oscars, Cameron says very specifically, if he started to make Avatar 2, it would take him 3 years. So the key word there being if. So I think that says right there that he has not started at all. And I know he said earlier, way back, he said that he wanted to give the whole team a big break so they can actually, you know, have lives. Semblances of lives.
They don't. They're actors. This is what they do. Oh, that sounds... So,
Ian, teach us some more Navi.
What? No. Okay.
Here you. Okay. This is Ian of the mod from Learn Navi. Who?
No, no. Or, find me.
You spoiled to teach us Navi.
So you can go harass him, PM him, smite him.
It's called karma, people.
It's applaud and smite.
Thirsty people everywhere prefer
Radio Avatar.
Just one last thing. We want to extend some thank yous out. We are very appreciative to all the people at freesound.org for hosting the most amazing site in the world. And the makers of Audacity, because we're all broke and untalented, and without their amazing software, none of this would be possible anyway. Special thanks to Rolyu for her original cover art. If you haven't seen it, go to blog.radioavatar.com and see her little blue Navi. Thank you to The Fish for hosting learnnavi.org, without which there would be no Radio Avatar. And thank you to everyone who worked on this episode. But most of all, thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. We hope you had fun. Extra special thanks to our first 1,000 listeners. Yay! Unbelievable. One episode and we hit the jackpot. We're just jumping up and down. We feel we're the luckiest people in the world. Now we got to figure out how to promote this thing. Please tell your friends about us. No sense being the only one on your block tortured by us. We see you out there. Thank you, Auckland, New Zealand. Thank you, Melbourne, Brisbane, Perth, someplace in the middle of Australia off Stuart Highway 87, someplace in Laos I can't pronounce, all over Norway. Where are my fellow Swedes, by the way? Thank you, Europe, Italy, France, Germany, everyone in Zurich, Switzerland. Woohoo! Thank you. We love you. We love you. To our many British fans, especially in Melton Mowbray, thank you, thank you for putting up with our barbaric American accents. And speaking of which, to my favorite country on earth, thank you, America. Special thanks to Kansas. I don't know how it happened, but you guys are far and away our biggest bunch of listeners. It sounds like time for a road trip to me. I hope we made you laugh in this episode. And always remember that we deeply appreciate and respect every one of you who puts up with our yapping. Lastly, at least for now, thanks to our friend in Vancouver and Calgary. If we missed your town and you want a special thank you, just email us and say so.